Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith. And with the Lord's help, we're going to conclude some teaching I've been doing on that verse of Scripture found in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 3. And these are the words of Jesus. He said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And so that's what we've been talking about, becoming as little children. A parallel passage is found in Mark 10 and 15, where Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And so I thought it would be helpful and beneficial to go to the Word of God to find out what does it mean to become childlike, not childish, which is a sign of immaturity or instability or foolishness, but to be childlike, as Jesus was describing. And just to review quickly, there was a saving faith, and with that, there is conversion. It's a twofold process. As Jesus spoke to Peter in Luke 22, he said, "After you're converted, strengthen the brethren." And then secondly, there's a desire for spiritual growth and a hunger for the Word. Thirdly, we're teachable. Sometimes as we get older, we tend to get set in our ways and think we've got all the answers, but that's not an admirable personality or character trait. There's always something we can be learning, especially when it comes to the things of the Lord. Fourthly is unquestioning obedience. We learn that from the like of Jacob. He did, when his parents told him to go to Padan Aram to find a wife, he did that. Also, number five, to be submissive to God. Hebrews 12 and 9 talks about that we're to be subjected unto the Father of spirits and live. If we did we're reverence and obeyed our natural parents, how much more should we our Heavenly Father? Also, number six, to submit to discipline, which is a part of, the Lord will chasten those He loves. Seven is to trust. We used as a reference there Psalm 131, 1 and 2, where David said, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Surely I behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother." And then also to honor and love parents. We know that's one of the commandments. And then we see Joseph, there was such an example of love for his father when he, after so many years, was reunited. He fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while, Genesis 46 and 29 says. And so then also we are to respect and honor the ages. Leviticus 19 and 32 says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord." And of course, that refers not only to those who are naturally elderly, but that we should also respect, honor, and give honor that is due to spiritual authority. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the honors that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." And the last or tenth trait I'd like to share with you, which, again, these are all traits of an ideal child, that is, they are happy and fun-loving. Isn't that right? A child knows how to have a good time. A child knows how to play. Philippians 4 and 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Ecclesiastes 2:24 says, "There's nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy the good of all his labor." I wonder how many do that today. No matter how much they acquire, no matter how far they climb the ladder of success? Is there really enjoyment? Are they really satisfied? That scripture goes on to say, this also I saw, that it was from the hand of God, that we should enjoy, be content with the things God has given us, and enjoy the good of all our labor. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And of course, we see as a child, speaking now in the natural, a godly parents would balance the instruction, the teaching, the things they would need to learn, their responsibilities, along with the ability to play and to have fun, to be a child. You know, children don't have a chance to grow up much these days in the way that children used to. I mean, it used to be that you could be a child for a while, you know, play outdoors, and today they grow up so very fast. And in the natural, that kind of imbalance is externally imposed by the parent. But as we grow and mature in the Lord, that kind of balance is imposed by our Heavenly Father, and that we, as we seek to walk in His ways, will allow that. What are some of the fruits of the Spirit? Temperance, moderation, that we're able to be balanced, not to be workaholics, working all the time, and not to be slothful and lazy and indolent, but to work heartily as unto the Lord, and also to be able to rest, that important Sabbath rest God's never done away with. And so, beloved, if we will do that, if we will follow these things, these are just some of the hallmarks of being a good child, or becoming as little children. And in closing, I'd like to look at the actual context of that passage of Scripture that is found in Matthew that we've been looking at, Matthew the 18th chapter, verse 3. And let's go back a couple of verses. It says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, this is the text we've been looking at, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the context was a discussion of what do you have to do to be great in the kingdom of heaven. And we see the primary characteristics, first of all, is there's obedience. That child did come to Jesus, and that's the command that's given to children this day of natural parents. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And then, of course, that child, as he came, was humble. He was submissive. He was willing to be taught. And he, through an act of his will, this child, who Jesus called to him, was willing to be an example for the master. And so, beloved, if we will take these to heart, if we will do these things, if we will become as a good child, as we will become as little children, there are some scripture promises that we can lay hold of, and one is that we will be blessed. Proverbs 3:1-4 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandment, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So we will be blessed as we become as little children, as we allow the Holy Spirit to bring balance in our lives, as we learn to walk in childlike faith and trust, just like a child doesn't worry about, is it going to get its next meal? And of course, now I'm talking about an ideal situation in a good family, in a happy family. A child does not have to worry about where its next meal is coming from, and where all of its needs, its scholastic needs, its medical needs, its mental, emotional needs for love, all these things are going to be provided by the parent. And so we know our Heavenly Father is the best parent that ever was. So if we will seek to do these things, there's another wonderful thing that will bring joy to your heart, as it does to mine. Proverbs 10:1 says, "A wise son maketh a glad father." So, beloved, we can actually make the heart of our Father happy by being wise, by listening, hearkening to His statutes, His commandments, and doing those things that please Him. Amen. Well, I pray you've been blessed by just, you know, these little thoughts I've shared from the Word of God, but very significant, because Jesus said, unless we become as little children, we will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, as I bring this broadcast to a close, I don't often take time, but I would like to just extend an invitation to those who are listening who may be going through a time of real difficulty, a time of battle. The Word says that we are to agree together. If you would agree as touching anything, doesn't the Word say that? And so this ministry has been raised up by the Lord to stand as a partner in prayer with God's people. And so at the end of the broadcast, the announcer is going to give you our contact information. And if you're struggling right now, know that I'll not only pray for you, but send back a personal answer, whatever God gives me to bless your heart. I know you'll be blessed as countless others are. I'd like to share just a few letters that have come in recently. As I say, I don't often take time, but this is from a sister writing from Antelope, California. And she says, "Thank you, Sister Judith, for leading me to the truth that sets me free from fear and doubt, and for your prayers and encouragement. Your friend," a sister writing from Antelope. And then there's a brother that's writing from San Carlos, and he said, "I just wanted to thank you for all the encouragement I've been following since 1997. I was a new Christian then. God had me in the right place at the right time. His timing is always perfect. There was a time I stopped hearing from God, but he used your letters to inspire me for a fresh anointing. I've been to many churches, and I hate to admit it, but a lot of the church is dry today. There are some good ones where His Spirit was allowed to enter. Right now I'm in a Spirit-filled church, praise God. Thank you for listening. I'm hearing God for myself. You've been instrumental to my growth through those dry years. I look forward to your broadcasts. I hear God speak directly to me." He goes on to share some other experiences, and he says, "Right back, I really enjoy corresponding with you, flying with Jesus in the Spirit." A brother writing from San Carlos, praise God. Well, I do invite you to write. The announcer will give you our contact information, and tomorrow we'll see what the Lord has for us. I hope you can join me. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.